This is CliffCentral.com.
Yeah, what would you do without my vocals in this? You'd be bored to death, that's what. It's Friday, motherfuckers. Let's go, come on, up you get. Let's make this day happen. None of that lying around in bed being lazy crap, right? Things to do, people to see, places to go. Or if you prefer, things to see, people to do, places to go. You want to do some people? Hell yeah. Good morning. It is the weekend. Do it for us.
It's the weekend, baby!
Yes, that's correct. A lot of energy this morning. I'm feeling it now. I'm feeling you now. What's happening? Hello, Mubs. Hello, Sia. Hello, Ben. Hello, hello, Amanda. Hello, you, and especially you.
Oh.
Yes.
What a day. You know,
at some 8 days, minutes past 6, you're saying what a day?
No, I'm loving it already. Some days I just wake up and I'm full of the joys of spring, and it's not even spring yet, but I do feel it's getting a little bit better every day. And
it is.
That's something I like about this time of year, is it's like a slow acceleration into summer, and it's nice. You think the best part of the year is ahead of you, yeah? And that's a good thing. That's something positive and optimistic and exciting.
Although, to be fair, we haven't really had a winter this year.
Yeah, everybody says that.
Not really.
I'm sorry. Anything under 20 degrees and I think it's winter.
In fact,
I should have been born in Durban.
I saw a headline. Durban's the best weather-wise.
It's the best, isn't it?
Weather-wise, yeah, definitely.
Yesterday, just have a moment to pray for Durban. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for Durban.
Woo. Well,
I love everything about Durban. The people, the weather, the sea.
Preach on, preacher.
The Zulu people.
Whoop.
The Indian people.
Whoop.
The girls with the big titties.
Amen.
We love Durban. Oh, Lord, tell us how you made Durban on your birthday.
Woo.
You may have made shitty places. And you have Afghanistan.
Oh.
Port Elizabeth.
Oh.
Shut down.
And many others like Polo Kwane. But you made Durban, Lord, on a day you was feeling strong.
Yes, Lord.
Oh,
yes, Lord.
Praise be.
One day I have to get into one of those churches, man.
I do.
Just for a good time.
If you just pay me money, I'll do it for you every morning. I'll fill you up with a spirit. I should have gone into that, man. I would have been so good at that stuff. Because you do an hour. I mean, we do 3 hours a day, right?
Mm.
All I'd have to do is 20 minutes, maybe,
man,
of that kind of ranting. I'd get them all worked up.
Yeah, you have a morning and evening set.
Right, and you just pay the right people in the crowd to do the falling over at the right time, and that's shit.
We're here for you. We are.
Did you see that video? I posted it on my Facebook.
What's the video?
That was insane.
There's a guy called Benny Hinn. Mm-hmm. You remember him? He's like this white dude with silvery hair, and he wears these disgusting jackets that look like they could reflect the sun. And then he goes on the stage, and he does this whole, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit. Like, he's stolen all those black pastors' act completely out from under them. But he's got a congregation that's mixed, right? Mm-hmm. And he gets up on the stage, and he goes, I feel the power of the Holy Spirit, or the power compels you, and whatever he says. And then he pushes into the air like this in front of him, with his hands outstretched and his arms.
Yeah.
And the people just, they fall down in front of him.
Like
they
dominoes.
They fall down backwards like dominoes.
Yeah.
It is... And it's spectacular. And obviously it's put on because you can see the sound guys remain standing.
Oh.
So it's not like that. You know, it's somehow,
I've never thought of that.
Because they need to be making sure the sound is all right. So he's briefed the people in the crowd that he's placed strategically to knock everyone else over.
The crew doesn't catch the spirit.
Hell no.
Oh.
And they all just start falling. And then he turns to his left and he pushes those people. And then they boom, 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 boom. They go down like dominoes. And then to the right. I mean, I could put a show like that together.
I mean, it's no different to hiring stuntmen on a movie set.
That's exactly what it is. But what a great show. And these people are just, they're all taken by it. And they walk out of church that Sunday morning and they feel strong, like the Holy Spirit entered into them and knocked them over with such power and force. And,
yeah.
You know, they feel it. I could do that.
I'm down.
Yeah, make my Sundays more interesting. Plus, I could have made a lot of money.
And really improved your suit collection.
Oh, you have to wear disgusting. It's like Deputy Minister Manana. You have to wear these disgusting suits.
Oof. Pinstripe.
Have you seen what that guy dresses? I mean, who dresses him?
Himself.
The Muppets? It's the Muppets. Anyway, he appeared in the magistrate's court last night, but Mabali will tell us more about that later. There's lots to talk about. Ben had a little break, a little romantic getaway with Daniela.
Yeah, it was amazing.
Ooh, how was it?
Into the bush. It was really cool. We saw a whole bunch of wild animals, had some nice alone time, and I did a whole bunch of editing because, you know, I was away
You're away with your girlfriend and you sit and do editing?
Well, she was reading a book. It was like a couple of hours, Gareth.
All right.
When you say into the bush, what do you mean? Like,
so into Limpopo.
Limpopo.
We actually went to a place. It was called Bushwa. I mean,
Bushwa.
Bush as you get.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's called Bushwa?
Yeah.
Like was bourgeois?
Bush with a wa at the
bourgeois.
End.
Bourgeois. All right, yeah.
Yeah, it was cool. And it was one of those great places, like a small lodge, where like you become friends with the staff within the day because
You did sleep in like an actual building.
They slept under mosquito nets in the
yeah, well, it's like a private game lodge. It's pretty nice.
Okay.
So we had our own little thing, which had its own balcony. It's like its own structure overlooking, because like set on the top of this mountaintop or hilltop. And then if you want to have more like a more tented experience, they have that for you as well. Mm-hmm. And then there's actually a tree house you can stay in.
Wow.
Ooh,
so we went there for lunch. It was a bit rustic for a night out. And that's like really into the bush. So you're just surrounded by animals and you've got this tree house that's perched above this lake. And then it's got its own outside toilet area. It was just cool. Like it was very sort of, it was like genuine in the wild. And we saw so many animals. We went on like 2 game drives. It was, just waking up in like the quiet, seeing the stars. Oh. And whenever you go to these places, the food's always so good. So you just get like proper home cooking.
Right.
And like the staff actually care about you.
You know what I like about
like restaurants?
You two, you keep things interesting. You go to these interesting places. It doesn't have to cost you an arm and a leg.
Mm.
You know, you find somewhere interesting. You go there for like 2 nights and it's done. It's beautiful. It's enough.
It really is.
And you feel reinvigorated afterwards. It's a good idea to take these breaks. Especially
how long
around
was the drive?
Public holidays.
It was about just under 3 hours to get to the small town. And then the owner of the place actually picked us up because it was a dirt road.
Hmm.
So didn't mess the car up. And the owner was such a fascinating guy.
Yeah.
Firstly, I want him to narrate my life story. He has one of those voices that is just like pure silk. And he was like, yeah, you know, so I've been living in Cape Town for the last 30 years and I want to get back to the bush. So he bought this place.
Wow.
So you're thinking, wow, this guy really loves the wild and just like putting back into the area. Then he goes, yeah, well, I'm not always here because I'm also a doctor in Canada. Like, he was one of the most fascinating guys ever.
I love people like that. You know, Sia and I went to one of those Heavy Chef discussions last night. Heavy Chef's this organization. They book these speakers who just tell their story. And you know, you get to hear their whole story and then they get to answer some questions. And so we met Magda. I can't even pronounce her surname.
Yeah,
Wierzka or Wierzka or whatever it is. She's Polish. She's the CEO of Signia. And she's built this business. She's an actual billionaire. Like, she's a billionaire in rands. And she arrived in this country. Her family of 6 escaped from communist Poland. They arrived in this country with 500 rand.
Mm.
That's all they had. And she was 13 years old. And she's built a fortune of a billion rand for herself.
Incredible.
She is incredible. And what an inspiring woman. And she's got such amazing life stories to tell. I mean, she's done everything in terms of learning about the financial industry from the inside and out. And so Sia and Anthea and I went to listen to her talk yesterday. And also, if you've seen her name in print before, it's probably in the Daily Maverick. She writes these opinion pieces on what's going on and business in South Africa. She says business in South Africa has got to step up and stop making it look like it's only government that's involved in corruption, when business itself is as involved in corruption as government.
Amen to that.
Yeah. And she's just, wow. I mean, you know, you talk about Women's Day, and we had Women's Day this week, and you know, Mabane and I were taking the piss out of it on Tuesday and saying it doesn't mean anything to us. But I'll tell you what, somebody on their Facebook feed posted a thing, which I reposted, about Nobel laureates, female Nobel laureates who've changed the world. And I thought about this. When we talk about Women's Day, we tend to do this thing where I call it the soft bigotry of low expectations, where let's celebrate everyone just because they're women. Or let's talk about women. And let's get women into companies. And let's get a woman to talk about this. So purely because of the biological fact that they're a woman, we treat them like they've done something extraordinary. And I watched this video because I do believe that's a bigotry of a kind. It's where these people go, oh, shame, she's a woman. You know, it's let's give her the spotlight because she's a woman. The rest of the year we can ignore her, but for this day we'll pretend she matters. These Nobel laureates are women from all over the world who have got Nobel Prizes for literature, science, discovery, actions of peace, human rights, achievements of monumental proportions that would be comparable to, if not better than, the achievements of most men, certainly of even the greatest men. And to me, those are the women worth celebrating, and those are the stories that will illustrate not only how women are equal to men, but how they're better than men at some things. And that, to me, is what Women's Day should be about. It shouldn't be about ordinary old women who are just wandering around the planet, and by virtue of the fact that they have two X chromosomes, we must kowtow and bow and scrape and be all sweet and lovely to them for that one day a year, like it means something to us, which is horse shit. We don't go around celebrating men just because they were born men. It's a stupid reason to make a fuss of anybody. Don't you agree?
Totally.
So if there's a woman, like I'm just going to read out one or two of these things to you quickly, just so that you can get an idea. There's this woman called Svetlana Alexievich. She gave voice to the post-Soviet individual. UU2, that's an actual name of a person, by the way. I know it sounds kind of crazy. She discovered a novel therapy against malaria. There's a woman called May Britt Moser who discovered the brain. Listen to this. She discovered the brain's positioning system. That's no small thing. There's Malala Yousafzai, who we know about, the advocate of girls' rights to education in a part of the world where there are no rights for women whatsoever.
Jeez, she got shot in the face for education.
She got shot in the face.
By a man.
Of course. But that's not important here. What I'm saying is not that she was a victim or that she's a woman, but that despite all of those things that worked against her, she decided, I'm not going to be cowed by any of this violence or the stupidity or these men. I'm going to get out there and I'm going to make a difference. And she has. She's how old? She's not even 20 yet.
Mm-mm. Like 17.
What an amazing girl, right? Alice Munro, master of the contemporary short story. I mean, these are people who have really changed the way we think. Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, who we know was the first female president of Liberia and the first female president in Africa. Mm-hmm. And who continues to do great work, not like Joyce Banda in Malawi. You see, this is the other thing. It's just by virtue of the fact that you're a woman doesn't necessarily mean that you are a good person. I mean, Joyce Banda in Malawi hasn't been back to her country since she lost the election because they want to lock her up in jail. So corrupt was she. It's not just in South Africa that we have corruption. Meanwhile, this Ellen Johnson Sirleaf continues to do great work, even though she's not the president in Liberia anymore. Lema Gabawi, who is from our continent. I mean, you've never heard these names, right?
Mm-mm.
No one talks about these people. She is an activist for women's rights, peace, and social justice in Africa. There's a woman called Tawakol Karman who has led work for women's rights in Yemen. Again, a country where nobody does anything for women. Eleanor Ostrom, who studied the management of common property. I mean, these are people who've been given Nobel Prizes for their work. And you can look at the whole list. But I just feel, if you're going to say anything about women, don't let it be these platitudes that ministers like Deputy Minister Manana go and talk about a year ago where he goes, oh, gender-based violence against women. And then he's guilty of the very same thing the next year. Because you know those people are just, they're blowing smoke up your ass. And if you're a woman who takes that kind of claptrap seriously, then you've missed the boat completely. These are Nobel laureates. By celebrating them, you not only show young girls that it's possible for them to attain the very highest of human achievements and that they don't need a man around to do that. But you show them that just being a woman is neither significant or important in a world where these achievements are attainable. And they're from all countries in the world. Countries where it's a lot harder than it is in South Africa to get ahead. So you look at the world any way you like. I see this as a massive shining light on the stage of gender equality and feminism. To me, this is something to be proud of. And you know what? I'm not the kind of guy who goes, rah, rah, celebrate this, celebrate that, because I don't think there's a lot about humans to celebrate. But this is something. But no, this is valuable. Go watch the video. I'll try and post it on my Instagram and everything else as well. All right.
I miss the Pussycat Dolls. Just
Why?
Saying.
Because they would dance around, no, show their booty.
But they'd sing about this. Where's the girl group anymore? You know, the Spice Girls sang about this. Yeah. They're gone.
Yeah, but you girls know, allowed. But this is where I, you know, that we run the world, girls, that kind of crap. That's not true, first of all. And second of all, it's like you're protesting too much.
Yeah, Beyonce.
It's not. Here are Nobel Prize winning women. She's not singing about them, and I don't expect her to. But let's make more of a fuss of these women than we do of, like, how many women we have in cabinet, for example. And especially in a dysfunctional cabinet like ours.
Maybe it's because Malala Yousafzai doesn't rhyme with anything to put in a song.
It's a hard, one to rhyme. That's true. Anyway, all right. A lot of feedback on Amanda's Eastranders yesterday. She sent us a clip of a guy who he almost got into a gunfight with the police. Frightening stuff. I mean, the Eastrand is very, very dodgy. But Amanda, you know, you were talking about how the Edenvale cops are often on carte blanche, right? They often get put on carte blanche because they're so dodgy.
They are.
And then these guys are the ones who are laughing with some dude who has a rifle in his hand.
It's out of control.
Yeah, you have to listen to yesterday's Eastranders if you want to know more. And we had Adrian Basson on yesterday talking about the vote of no confidence against the president. And I see lots of really, really interesting articles coming out about that. None of them are particularly praiseworthy of the ANC.
Hmm.
However, I got to say that this Magda last night, the CEO of Signia, she said last night that she thinks that the ANC has a lot more good people. And she read out what the instructions were to the ANC from their caucus meeting. I don't know how she got hold of that, but it was basically about how they were told, what you are here to do today is to vote either for the government to stay in place or for the ANC to stay in place. If you vote for this motion to try and depose the president, you're actually going to destroy the government and destroy the ANC. So you imagine how that must have made those MPs feel. Forget about your conscience if that's what they put up in front of you. You know? It takes a very brave person, and I don't think we have a lot of brave politicians. I really don't. The only thing they seem to be brave about is looking after themselves.
I think they would be brave if they had their own businesses, they had their own fortunes, but
of course they don't.
They can't even come close to that.
Oh, please.
But it was interesting for Magda to note that actually gave her hope, and I left that place feeling like, oh, actually.
I felt good too.
Maybe it is the beginning of something.
And we need to... Especially in this climate at the moment, everybody's down, and you can see like people are worried about the economy, people are worried about their money. You're probably worth, I don't know, 10 to 20% less right now than you were this time last year. Everybody is. The whole country is. Our value of our currency, your savings, all that kind of thing. So you're feeling impoverished. Even if you had 20 Rand last year, you've got 18 Rand this year. Same money. You didn't spend any of it. If you saved 20 Rand, you got 18 now. That's not cool. You know, no one wants that.
But also that note of her saying that actually change might be coming sooner than just the elections, for example.
Oh, yeah.
With more people losing jobs, more people feeling frustrated, with trade unions hopefully stepping up, we're going to see change sooner than we think. So, yeah, I think that was a good little light of insight.
It made me feel good.
Yeah.
And so is it possible to get on to the show? Because, you know, if there's one thing we're good at is bitching and moaning, and then very soon after that you enjoy the sound of your bitching and moaning voice.
Mm-hmm.
So if she can provide something different to hear, that would be great for all of us.
Absolutely. Now we're going to get her in. And by the way, this morning, Jason Goliath is popping by.
Yay. So what does he call himself again?
The strangely sexy fat guy.
There you go.
Yeah.
Strangely sexy fat guy. Now, Sia and I can't work out if he's getting married or not.
Oh.
Looks like he might be. Yeah.
That's a lot of best men, huh? Just think a whole run of Goliaths down the aisle.
Yeah, and you know what's going to happen, right? Is that Eric and Dave are going to try and muscle Eric and Dave on the Just Now Comedy podcast. Levinson and Levinson, they're going to try and muscle in on the action there as well. Watch.
Does anyone object to this union? Yeah. And I'll have some sort of line.
Yeah. And by the way, a little bit later on, we'll also play a lyrics quiz, which I expect everybody to take part in. So put in your diary this morning, somewhere between 7 and 8, we're going to play a game. You know, you often have these songs that people misinterpret the lyrics. They think they've heard the lyrics, but they haven't.
Oh, yeah. I screw lyrics up all the time.
Well, exactly. You think they're singing about something and it's totally different. So we're going to play a game with that later on. But I thought this was funny, and then we'll leave the whole political thing and the president alone. But this is worth playing. Just a clip from Tuesday. I know it's late, but this is funny enough to play on Friday.
On the point correct. Honorable, what are you raising, honorable member?
This is when the EFF's Godrich Gadi, I think, got up and he had something to say about one of the ministers. And then I think Lindiwe Zulu is the one who jumped up and started screaming and shouting. And then Julius calls for a breathalyzer test in the chamber.
Says,
no, no.
Who is isinto here?
So what is that?
Or basically, the issue was that they were referred to as izinto, which means things. So, like, you don't even respect me as a human being.
Oh, okay.
You know?
All right.
Once again, we're focusing.
And then she repeats herself. Listen. Yeah.
Can you please tell her to withdraw those weights?
Honorable Gadi, take your seat. I've heard you. Take your seat.
Yes.
Take your seat,
that.
Honorable member. I've heard you. Honorable Minister, did you say that? Honorable Minister, did you say that?
So
the things know who they are.
Yeah.
So it's just carry on, just like poking this entire thing.
Honorable Minister, you can't say that. You have to withdraw that. Honorable Minister, you have to withdraw this. That's not said in the house.
I withdraw.
Unconditionally, please. Honorable members, order. Chief honorable members,
honorable
order.
Honorable speaker.
Honorable Deputy
Honorable
Speaker?
Malema, what are you raising on now?
Next time you must bring breathalyzers here, man.
No, my Honorable.
How can a normal sober person say such?
Honorable Malema, you are out of order and you must withdraw that. Honorable Malema, withdraw that. Honorable member, you withdraw that. Any member here, what breathalyzer here? Withdraw it, Honorable Malema.
What is unparliamentary about that?
Withdraw your statement, Honorable Member.
Which rule are you applying?
I will remind you of something.
Honorable Members.
You have used the word brutalized in this Parliament.
Honorable.
Honorable. Never such a ruling.
Honorable Chivambo, who gave you the right to speak?
On the point
take
of
your
order.
Seat. Take your seat.
Does sound like chaos, right?
Imputing mess. What he imputed on the member.
I withdraw because I don't want you to chase me out. I want to vote a criminal
take your
out.
Seat. Take your seat, honorable member.
Honorable Deputy Speaker.
Oh, I love it. Isn't
listen,
that great?
If it doesn't work out for Julius in politics, he should consider taking to the comedy stage.
The
join the
one-liners.
The Goliaths and
right
Malema.
On cue.
Yeah, I mean, what a great line. Because, you know...
And I withdraw not because I'm sorry or I respect...
But because I want to get rid of a criminal.
Yeah. I withdraw because...
All right, it's time for the news, which is brought to you by Colcacchio Pizzeria. Colcacchio's Pizzeria have its great rewards app. We've spoken about it before. You need to get this thing because every time you go to Colcacchio's and you order something, they give you a little reward back. Before you know it, you've got free stuff. And how many people give you free stuff these days?
Not a lot, Gareth.
That's right, Ben. Mubs, what do you got for us?
Well, the Deputy Higher Education Minister, Mduduzi Manana, was granted 5,000 rand bail by the Randburg Magistrates Court yesterday.
Uh-huh.
He made his first appearance in court after admitting to assaulting Mandisa Duma. This happened at a Johannesburg nightclub over the weekend. Manana faces two counts of assault with intent to cause grievous bodily harm. And assault is a Schedule 1 offence. So according to the NPA, Manana handed himself over to the Douglasdale Police Station earlier on Thursday And the deputy minister's lawyer argued that he should be released on bail because he has no pending case against him or any criminal convictions.
Careful, it sounded like you said gay there. He's going to come over here and give you a sock in the face.
I'm going to punch him in the balls.
Ooh.
Sorry, I'm going to kick him in the balls.
You can do both. It's Women's Month.
No, I'm going to go with a kick because that's going to have a bigger impact than my punch. All right, so then after all of that happened, the police minister, Fikile Mbalula, was then quick to try and assure everyone that, you know, the deputy minister is not receiving any kind of special treatment in his assault case. He held a press conference in Parliament yesterday to update the nation on the status of the case against the deputy minister. And basically, you know, Fikile Mbalula is saying, no. The case of the deputy minister is very disappointing because we expect individuals like him to be an ambassador. The law, however, must take its course. Deputy Minister Manana will not be treated with special kid gloves.
I will throw him out on the ass. Just take him and just throw him out just like they did it. Just take him just like you take a shovel. Just shovel their ass right on outside. Boom. And he'll have to make sure they hit the ass. So they'll never do that shit again.
Right.
So journalists had a whole bunch of questions to pose to Mbalula, asking him, well, I mean, why did it take so long for Manana to be arrested? And the minister responded, well, you know, arrests need to be done according to procedure.
Oh, please, he doesn't know anything about this. He only became minister like a month and a half ago.
Arrests themselves are not punishments. They are to ensure the suspect appears in court and to briefly restore the peace. So Mbalula just saying there that, listen, no special kid gloves here for the deputy minister.
All right.
Now, since Ubaba had his wonderful victory a couple of days ago, it would seem that the opposition are losing focus because now all of a sudden they're just arguing amongst themselves. So the DA wanted Parliament to be dissolved. They were looking to the likes of the EFF and the UDM to support their motion. But the EFF and the UDM are simply not interested. The Economic Freedom Fighters yesterday saying that they would not support the DA's motion for Parliament to be dissolved. They are calling it disingenuous. And this follows on after the UDM also signaled that they are not interested in supporting the DA. The DA had said that it expected other parties, in particular the EFF, to back the motion, but it would seem that they're going to have to try and find that support elsewhere or just kind of run this one on their own. According to the EFF spokesman, Mbuyiseni Ndlozi, he suggested that the main opposition party could collapse Parliament and force early elections simply by resigning all of its seats. Quote, if the DA truly wants Parliament to be dissolved, all they need to do is to resign all their numbers as well as their party from Parliament in line with Section 46. You know, these sections are long. To which the DA's Steenhuisen responded, you know, Ndlozi's understanding of the relevant section is flawed, saying that any number of resignations would simply count as so many vacancies to fill and would not force new elections. So essentially, the opposition now are squabbling amongst themselves, have lost focus of the ball, and Ubaba is chilling.
Of course, he's the only one. Let them squabble among themselves.
Yeah, he's chilling.
He's sitting there, he's laughing at this whole situation.
Sure.
All right. Well, that's some news for you this morning. We could take up your whole day with news, but we've got lots to do this morning, and we're not going to waste any time. Ben is back as well, and we didn't have any sport yesterday. People were upset about that. So here he is to fill in the gaps for you in case you missed anything. It's time for Ben Karpinski.
Yeah, thanks,
hey,
Gareth.
You told me that you've been followed by Ben Karpinski.
Yeah, I woke up this morning to find that I've been followed by my name, and it's actually some guy in America.
It's not some fake Ben Karpinski.
No, it's a real guy. He's a photographer.
His name is Ben Karpinski.
Exactly.
Same as yours.
Exactly.
Wow.
It's like Inception. Right, somewhere else in the world, there's like a me.
Well, hey, Ben. Yeah. Welcome to the family.
Yeah. So last night, IAAF World Champs, it's been the big sporting story for the last week. Wade van Niekerk running his sixth race in 6 days. I mean, if you think your job is hard, Wade van Niekerk right now is punching in overtime. And it was the 200 meters. So we all know that he's the 400 meter champ. Mm-hmm. He defended his world title earlier this week. And then at the Olympics, he was fantastic. He broke the world record, became the world champion in the 400. So now he's trying to do the double, the 400 and 200. He made his way into the final in the rain in London. And then last night he ran in, I think it was lane 2 or 3. Unfortunately, though, he came second.
Well, I mean, we say unfortunately, but it's not like we've got other sports where we're coming first. And frankly, this guy is still running his heart out, and silver is nothing to be embarrassed about.
Well, exactly. It's still an amazing achievement, but I say unfortunately because obviously his sights were set on the amazing double, because he's just done everything that you would hope and more so far in his career. It wasn't to be this time round, but at the same time, I'm not like sad by this. It's just that when it comes to the Olympics, this guy is so going to do it, the 400, 200. But all credit last night to Ramil Guliyev, the first ever Turkish gold medal at the World Champs.
Well, that's nice for Turkey. They need a good news story. They got a horrible political situation to deal with back home.
2009, he edged out Wade Finnecoke and Jareem Richards from Trinidad and Tobago. Both of them were 2011. And Wade got the silver there. It is a huge result. And again, it's just an amazing feat how this guy has taken his ability to run. The 400 is a hectic event. That will break you as a human being. Try run once around the track as a jog, right? Mm-hmm. Now do it as an all-out sprint. It is a special kind of athlete, both mentally and physically, to do that.
You think that's the hardest race?
I think that,
somewhere between...
It's very difficult to say, because if you run the 1,500 meters, that's ridiculously hard. It's four laps, right? And the pace is intense. But when you're running the 400, I think the 400 hurdles are probably the hardest event. Because when you're running flat out and someone puts something in your way and you got to jump it, you're using a different kind of strength as well. So you need stamina. The fact you got to jump, the lactic acid in your legs is nothing short of torture. And you saw when Wade finished his 400 meter final, he was standing up the entire race. Everyone else was flat in their back.
Right.
They were so absolutely broken, so drained. Yeah, so the 400, 200. So the fact that you're trying to do more is amazing. It really is quite something. So even though it wasn't the double everybody wanted, it's still a huge achievement and another step towards world domination for Wade Finnecoke. Carsten Semenya, she eases into the 800 meters women's final, which of course is her event. Now, the last time she won the world champs was 2011 back in Daegu. And then obviously she had a bit of a form dip and there was all the controversy around the gender thingy, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, she'll be going for glory 9:10 Saturday night. That'll be the women's final for 800 meters. Big event tonight, of course, is Usain Bolt's final time on the track. So he got the bronze in the 100 meters last week. So this time will be his actual final event. It'll be the 4x100 meter final. So that is 10 to 11 tonight, Friday night. Yeah, that's the athletics. Into the rugby. Victor Matfield is now part of the Lions. He'll be the forwards coach for the Lions.
Really?
So some people are saying that he would rather go to the Lions than work under John Mitchell, because John Mitchell's a hard ass. I would take a more positive spin on that, and I say, well done, Victor, because you could have sat on your ass in the SuperSport studio like every other ex-player / coach, pulled in the money and never been wrong, because it's easy to be a pundit. I mean, look, I rock up in the morning here and I say things that make sense. When you're sitting in the SuperSport studio, when you can watch the game with a whole bunch of guys, you can't get it wrong. Victor is putting cock on block here. It's going to be difficult to take this Lions team forward, okay? Because right now they're top of the game, and Victor is going to put his expertise back into the game, back into local rugby. So you got to admire the guy for that. Football. It is back after the European break, where everyone was just getting better tans and spending all that money they make. Well, it's back to business time now. Tonight we'll see Arsenal versus Leicester, 8:45 South African time, Friday night, the first match of the season. Now, Arsenal, when it comes to season openers, not so flash. They've only won one of their last seven first-round games. They did win the last five last year in the Premier League, so they finished very, very strong after Arsene Wenger seemed to get his formation right. But it is obviously the season where they're not in the Champions League for 20 years. That's how bad last season was for them. They finished fifth. Lots to prove here in this season. But when you think about it, this is probably the toughest season to win for any of these teams. Chelsea, defending champs, right? There's so much expectation around them.
Right.
Man City, if Pep Guardiola does not win the league this year, he's gone. Out on his ass, no job.
Mm-hmm.
It's as simple as that. Man City got lots of money, they got a lot of great players, and Guardiola himself was brought there as the world's greatest football manager. Spurs, they've got this belief now that they can actually fight with the big boys and go all the way. They finished second last year, they scored the most amount of goals, they've got a brand new big stadium. All the fans are going to believe that something special can happen here. Then there's Man United, who spent lots of money. Jose's had a full season with them. They are playing Champions League football again this year. Again, expectations are all-time high. Liverpool, everyone loves Jurgen Klopp, but I think if he doesn't perform this season, then he'll also be out on his ass. They've managed to hang on to Coutinho by looks of things, saying he's not for sale to Barcelona. It's a good side. Again, it's a side where they haven't delivered. And then, of course, we've got Arsenal. They've made a couple of summer signings. This is Arsene Wenger's last season. It has to be. I mean, it really has to be. This guy's like prison break. He just won't go away. But this has to be the last season for him. And knowing that, and knowing that they finished last season on a high, and they've already beaten Chelsea this year for some sort of silverware, this is going to be all eyes on this. Plus, there'll also be some plucky upstart that's going to come through and be stubborn. And there's a whole bunch of other teams, like Brighton and Hove Albion are in the mix now. Swansea are in the mix.
What? Huddersfield are in the mix. Who's heard of these
exactly.
teams?
Exactly. So the other big games to look out for the weekend. Watford will be taking Liverpool at 1:30 South African time on Saturday. And then Chelsea will take on Burnley at 4. And then Brighton and Hove Albion will host Man City at 6:30. And then on Sunday, you get to see Newcastle, who are back in the mix. Of course, they got relegated. But Rafael Benitez, who is now a god in that town, in Newcastle, has brought the team back up, and they'll host Spurs 2:30 on Sunday. And then Man United will start their season against West Ham at 5 o'clock. Locally, there is the MTN 8, so the top 8 teams from last year's PSL, obviously Pirates are not part of that, they'll now play for a whole bunch of money. And it all starts with Wits, who are defending champs of the MTN 8 and obviously the league. Golden Arrows, that's their opponents, Friday tonight 8 o'clock. And then Saturday, Cape Town City versus Polokwane City at 3. Kaiser Chiefs versus Supersport United at 8:15, and then Sundowns will take on Maritzburg United at 3 on Sunday. So there we go, a whole bunch of fixtures. There is so much to look forward to if you like the football. In golf, it is the PGA Championship right now, and Kevin Kisner and Thorbjørn Olesen at -4 lead the way. This course is pretty tough. They do play a regular PGA Tour event here at the Quail Hollow layout, and it's not quite as severe as this one, mostly because when it comes to a major, they make the rough tough and they make the greens hard and fast. Brooks Koepka says it's some of the fastest greens he's ever played on, and they're only going to get faster because the course did start off quite wet this week. Uh-huh. Koepka himself is the US Open champion this year, and he is at -3. Ricky Fowler, despite a triple bogey 7, is at -2. He has won on this course before, back whatever that tournament was called, play at Quail Hollow. Mm-hmm. And then Matsuyama Day, Dustin Johnson and Rahm and Oosthuizen all at -1. Oosthuizen's the only South African under par, Ernie Els being the worst of them. He blew out to an 80 yesterday in his 100th major. And then Jordan Spieth, he had a bit of a rough day with the putter. He is, of course, going for the career Grand Slam. If he does it this week, he'll be the youngest man in history, but he started off with +1, so he's already 5 back. Same as Rory McIlroy, also at +1. And finally, cricket. Proteas seem like they might have a new coach, Gareth.
Really? Who?
Russell Domingo. They've been umming and ahhing if they should give him the flick. It looks like he will be out. And Otis Gibson, a West Indian, looks like he might be the man for the job. So basically, how the process works, my understanding, is that the team, the management, the players, all that kind of stuff, they then put forward a recommendation to the board, and the board yay or nays it.
Okay.
But I don't know if picking a West Indian coach is kind of what is transformation. You know, there's obviously talk about having more...
It's doing nothing for local transformation.
More black coaches involved in high-profile jobs. Otis Gibson, yeah, he's a foreign coach. So, I don't know. Otis Gibson, of course, was involved with the West Indies as a player, as a coach, and he has been the English bowling coach most recently. So the guy's got some pedigree, and it's all about getting fresh ideas. I think that's exactly what this Proteas team needs. And I think he'll also be able to make changes in the right places. Although Faf du Plessis did say to him yesterday, or offered words of advice via a press conference, saying if he were to come in as new coach, he should not be making wholesale changes. He needs to keep what's going there, and we can just work from there. But I think this might be the problem with South African cricket. They've created this sort of boys club where there aren't any big changes, and everyone just has this whole pally-pally relationship. Yeah. And then what happens? We choke the crap out of knockout tournaments, and then we don't do so well in tests anymore. So, big changes on the horizon. But yeah, look out for tonight. Men's 4x100m final. The last time we'll ever see Usain Bolt competing. Tonight, 10:50 South African time.
Cool. We're going to watch that. Very nice. All right, Ben, thank you very much. That's a look at the sport. Let us get hold of Anthea and see what's going on in the world of finance. Of course, we check in with Anthea every morning in the Money Shot. And last night, Anthea and I were talking about what's been going on with certain shares, and she gets annoyed with me when I do this because, you know, it's the long-term game. And, you know, Mubs, how she talks to me about how I shouldn't be obsessed with one or two shares in particular, and I should be smart enough to know. I mean, Anthea has very high expectations for an idiot like me, right?
Well, she knows her stuff, and she's a smart individual.
Yeah,
so you probably should listen to her.
Anthea says I should be thinking about the long game, not this immediate, like, short-term trade nonsense that I get consumed by. And I can't help it. I'm a simple human being. I'm very simple, simple-minded.
Like, you don't understand the stock market, and she doesn't understand you.
All right, well, let's get to it. Here's Anthea with this morning's Friday Money Shot.
She looks hard for the money, so hard for it, honey. She looks hard for the money, so you better treat her right.
That's right. Anthea. Good morning, Anthea. How are you?
I'm okay. Market's not so much this morning, I'm afraid.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yesterday it was all about the international markets, though. You know, this tension between the U.S. and North Korea is really driving all the markets lower. Both U.S. bonds and shares fell yesterday. In fact, it was red across the board. Gold, of course, is up. It's trading at about $1,286 an ounce. And you know the story, right? Any talk of war and investors flock to safe haven assets. I must tell you, I did see the best tweet the other day, though. It said, please send me a list of all the places I can spend my gold during an apocalypse.
Yeah, because what are you going to do with all this gold?
Exactly.
What, are you going to trade with pirates?
It's such an antiquated idea, investment idea, to buy gold when things go a little bit pear-shaped. And the funny thing is, though, you almost can't deny it, right? Mm-hmm. So who are we to not do it, if you like?
Right, exactly.
Or to buck the trend. Yeah. But you know what is looking ugly or like not good at all is the VIX, or the Volatility Index, which we know colloquially as the Fear Index. It was up 20% yesterday from 1321 to 1604, and that's always an indicator of uncertainty in the market and just absolute volatility. In fact, it really is just mathematically a calculation of volatility. But markets tend to move down sharper than they do up. So when things are bad, the moves down are exaggerated, whereas when things are good, the moves up kind of, they tick up slowly. So you always see the fear or the volatility index jump.
Is this a bit of paranoia with this North Korea thing, or do you think that there is actually a chance that things could get out of control? I mean, we do have an unpredictability factor in both Donald Trump and Kim Jong-un, but I don't think that this is it's grandstanding. It's games of ego.
Sure, I'm with you on that. I think it's just rhetoric and ego and bullshiness. But because they're both such characters, I think there is actually a possibility that something could happen. Well, that's what the market's saying anyway. Mm. The market's preparing for that. That's the nervousness about it. Yeah. Anyway, in our market, the Rand was slightly stronger during the day, which didn't help our market, of course. But it felt like just nothing was working yesterday. We ended about 0.5% lower. Subsequently, the Rand has weakened. It's now 13.45 against the US dollar. Retailers' financials got absolutely smoked yesterday. Even the slightly positive resources index didn't help. And even Naspers rolled over. It was down about 1.5%. And that was on the back of 10 cents fall. And Asia looked particularly bad because of these tensions between North Korea and the U.S. So, like, Asian markets were very skittish yesterday. And then we had a couple of economic data points. The first was mining production. It declined by 0.8% year-on-year in June. And this was after a 4.3% decline in May and a 3.6 before that. So really not looking particularly good. And then manufacturing production also contracted 2.3% year-on-year. So we've had two bad economic data points. And in fact, manufacturing production, this was on top of the 0.9% decline in April and the 4.3% fall in May. So everything just ugly. And if you'll remember, we spoke about a week or two ago about the manufacturing PMI number, which fell to levels that we last saw in the 2008-2009 recessionary period. So just generally production looking awful in South Africa, that really needs to turn around. Say what you like, but there's no way we're going to be able to create jobs and turn things around unless we start producing goods and selling them.
All right. Good point. Well put.
And then just lastly, Pioneer Foods put out a 10-month business update yesterday. Sales down by 4%. due mostly to the deflation in the maize price and volume contraction. Again, just tough consumer trading environment is really taking its toll. April and July, much worse than expected. And quite telling, actually, because Pioneer Foods produces fairly basic goods, you know, bread, cereal, fruit juices, dried fruits. So it's not like the high end of the market, which is coming under pressure and people are not spending on luxury goods. This is your basic stuff that people need every day that they can't afford. And so just a horrible... Yeah, all of this is really not a good indicator today, is it?
No, and, but you never know. There could be something that happens. The world is so unpredictable at the moment. Anything could take place and suddenly things are up or down.
True.
And we've got at the moment.
We've got Moody's expected to deliver a review on us later today. I mean, I think, you know, nothing's going to change. I don't think so. Goodness, I hope not. I would be very unprepared for anything other than keeping things on par in the case of Moody's today.
Okay. Okay.
All right. Try to have a good weekend then.
Thanks, Anthea. Very good. And we'll check in with you on Monday.
Indeed. I'll see you on Monday.
Have a good weekend. There's Anthea Gardner. Good Friday morning, everybody. Heading up towards 7 o'clock. Here's some happy weekend music for you.
This is CliffCentral.com.